Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's the Round Ball Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Bob Boozer, Rudy LaRusso, Joey Devine, Bumper Tormolin, Bob Andering, Sean Keen, Paul Newman, but not that Paul Newman, N-E-U-M-A-N-N, Patreons, Ethan, thank you Ethan, Damon Agnos, thank you Damon, George Soros, thank you George, for all the checks, musical guest, Hispanic Boys, and now the temporary host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine!
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Round Ball Rock podcast, with a late edition this week. I'm here, as always, with my good friend Sean Keen. Sean, how are you?
I'm good, doing great, doing fine.
Do you love Taco Bell?
No, not at all.
They've got some fancy tacos there.
They're addictive, right?
Yeah, they're very addictive. We'll get to that later. But
I'm not particularly a fan, I will say.
I think that's fair. How was the rest of your week, Sean? Actually, while we're talking about this, what's your favorite fast food, Sean?
Fast food. You know what? I think I'm a Wendy's man.
You like your burgers square.
That's right. Just like my lifestyle, baby. Ow, ow, ow! Straight edge forever. I like Wendy. I like the option of a baked potato. I think they do some things well. Also, the economics of Frosty pricing are still just so baffling to me.
Sure.
Twice as big, 4 cents more. I don't get it.
I mean, it's less confusing than the McNuggets pricing, for sure.
That is wild.
I don't understand why a 10-piece is only, like, 25 cents less than...
I mean, McDonald's is founded on an insane culture by a guy who just, in his mid-50s, decided to start franchising McDonald's and working like 100-hour weeks. Mm-hmm. That's how we ended up with McDonald's.
He also did it by, like, he, like, stole McDonald's. Like, it wasn't even his thing.
Well, I mean, he was employed by them. The McDonald's guys were just like, hey, we like this one restaurant we have.
Yeah, and we've created like a system for making food.
Yeah, And but then everyone's like, that their restaurant, there's lines around the block. Do you guys want a franchise? And they're like, ugh, I guess. I think neither one of them was married, and all they liked doing was running this one restaurant.
Yeah, they liked optimizing burger cooking, and that's it. Because, like, yeah.
Well, they liked hanging out at the restaurant.
But you know the other story about those guys, right? Like, every fast food place comes from those guys because, like, they created basically, like, this system for cooking burgers, and like the Taco Bell guy, the Burger King guy, and the Wendy's and Dave Thomas, I believe, all paid them like $100 to learn it at that one McDonald's before Ray Kroc showed up.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, yeah. I mean they were just like, they weren't, all these other guys were like cutthroat businessmen, and they were like, we're brothers. We love to work together.
Yeah, they're like,
and then afterwards, people have asked them, they're like, dude, you sold McDonald's and you each made like $1 million. It's now a $1 billion company. And they're like, any regrets? And he's like, no, we got $1 million. It was great. But Ray Kroc did make them, the meanest thing he did was he made them not call their restaurant McDonald's anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even though.
Really mean.
Their name, they were the McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so insane pricing, I'm sure.
Very. It was super weird. Just the weirdest.
The 50s were just full of all these guys where if you looked at them now, you're like, oh, they were just germophobes. Like, that's where Holiday Inn comes from, too.
Yep.
Just like a guy going on vacation with his family and be like, ugh, so dirty. Why is this restaurant so bad? I will make 400 of these. Yeah, that's a weird time.
It's super weird. Sean, some business off the top. Round Rock Pod on Twitter. At Round Rock Pod on Twitter.
Thank God.
RoundRockPod@gmail.com. Please call us at the phone, at the number in the description. Mm-hmm. Of this week's episode. Buy our t-shirts at the link in the description. Patreon.com/roundrockpod, where Sean, we've had some goofy stuff on the Patreon weeks here. Steve Ballmer had a call, had an advice show. Do you want to hear a little bit of that?
Yeah, let's hear a little bit of that.
He's like the third funniest guy I know. The first funniest guy, of course, I know, is me, Steve Ballmer. The second funniest guy I know is, of course, Chuck the Condor. Chuck's such a wild guy. I love him. Kawhi, who's the funniest guy you know?
Probably Bill Kristol.
Okay, that's great.
That was Steve Ballmer and Kawhi Leonard's advice show. Brett and Randy were back this week talking about the mock coaching deadline.
They were.
They did a mock Portland Trailblazers coaching hiring. Yes. Let's just hear a little bit of that. I picked randomly here. Let's see what that sounds like.
I wonder, like, in the old NBA, were you allowed to have a cocktail on the sidelines?
I don't know.
Would George Karl be drinking, would he be coaching with a Miller Lite in each fist?
Two beers on him at all times.
Mm-hmm. I guess they're just in the pockets of his comical plaid sport jacket.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But where did the soda come from?
I don't know.
Did he order the soda knowing it was going to happen? Did he send someone back to go pour a soda into a glass?
I mean, are we just not seeing these coaches just chugging... like Mountain Dew?
Diet RC?
I mean, I know that Quinn Snyder has been known. He's a big Coke enthusiast. As far as my sources in the league, I've heard that...
So that was Brett and Randy talking about where Jason Kidd got that soda he spilled on the court that one time. Mm-hmm.
Completely only a soda-related rumor about Quinn Snyder there.
An episode that went up today is... us talking about who the Wario and Waluigi of the NBA are.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you get something funny and something weird. Subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/roundrockpod. Do I have any other business to do here, Sean?
I don't think you do.
Five-star reviews.
Oh, yeah.
Give us five-star reviews so we can again start charting in weird countries on chartable.com, America's favorite website. And let's do some news, huh?
Yeah, let's do it.
This is Round Ball Rock News. Basketball news for humans and robots. Trust the process.
All right, Sean.
Our top story is that the freewheeling campaign manager wife banging restaurateur wine critic tech incubator governor of California, Gavin Newsom.
Mr. Plumpjack himself.
Yeah. That's what the campaign manager's wife called him.
What about
you can bang your best friend's wife, who's also your campaign manager, and be the governor for 8 years, unless you get recalled. And then Caitlyn Jenner takes your job.
That's the other thing. I got a text from the anti-recall Gavin Newsom people the other day, and they were like, Gavin Newsom's being recalled. Do you stand with us? And my response was just, I guess, ?
Yeah, like, I think my response to that was, I don't want Gavin Newsom to be recalled, but I will do absolutely nothing to stop it from happening. And the text back was, okay, and then, like, seven dots.
But what about him, Sean? How is he in the news?
Well, you know, as because the pandemic is over with 41% of Americans vaccinated, right? That's it. That's all we need. He's about to reopen California on June 15th, but he's offering some incentives to people who get vaccinated. There's a lottery and there's some free, delicious, addictive food.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, basically the reason we're bringing this up is because we made such fun of Bill de Blasio for his food. So here's Dr. Plumpjack himself talking about the food you can get if you get vaccinated in California.
We have Taco Bell that's doing those fancy Dorito tacos, which are addictive beyond words. They're doing free Dorito tacos as well on June 15th. And so we want to thank Taco Bell, Chipotle for their incentives and support. LA.
Those addictive.
We have Taco Bell that's doing those fancy Dorito tacos, which are.
Okay. Sean, is the Doritos Logos taco fancy at all?
No, it's not.
No.
It's, you know, it's very popular, fairly gross, I would say, because it feels like the taco shell is made out of reconstituted Doritos.
They got rid of the one I liked. That's my problem with it.
Bring back the fiery one.
Yeah, uh-huh. the red one.
Well, I remember back when I was growing up, Taco Bell fire sauce was essentially like sweet relish. You know what I mean? Like the fire sauce at Taco Bell was basically something that would make, you know, like a heavy set man in a polo shirt and like a Florida Marlins cap, like wipe his brow and go, whoo, that's spicy. So not very hot is what I'm saying.
Oh, and then what else does he say here?
Fancy Dorito tacos, which are addictive beyond words. They're doing free Dorito.
Look.
They are
addictive beyond words. And you can trust Gavin Newsom because he knows what food is addictive beyond words. Because once again, just remember, he broke quarantine to go to a dinner party at the French Laundry. That's how addicted to food he is.
Also, after he slept with his campaign manager's wife, he went to rehab.
Yeah, for sex addiction, right?
Well, no, I think it was for alcohol addiction, even though he didn't stop drinking. It was like, he was addicted to being in trouble. And he thought that going to rehab would make that go away. And it kind of did.
He was addicted to taking pictures lying on a carpet in Vanity Fair.
With Donald Trump Jr.'s the future love of Donald Trump Jr.'s life.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He's going to be president, Joey.
I don't think
he is. He is not going to be president. There's no chance of him being president. But what I like is now that he has more ambitions, his voice has just gotten raspy in not a real way. Mm-hmm. It's like he just thought everyone was like, oh, he looks so fancy. This soft boy who the Getty family is just bankrolling into higher and higher office every time. And he's like, no, I like Taco Bell. That's what I enjoy.
He's like Matt Damon from The Departed, but for the Gettys.
Yeah.
But anyway, the other thing.
Where's Balthazar? My friend Balthazar.
The main reason I wanted to bring him up, though, is because I had a question for you, Sean.
Yes.
Is Gavin Newsom politics Quinn Snyder?
Oh, my God. There are certain grooming reasons why that's true. Mm-hmm. Gavin Newsom, well, I mean, Quinn Snyder's from Duke and is a protege of sort of like dark coaching wizard, Coach K. Gavin Newsom is a protege of dark politics wizard Willie Brown, who also Vice President Kamala Harris's former paramour.
Mm-hmm.
Am I using paramour right there? I think Willie Brown was her boss / lover, maybe. Is that right? I think that's accurate.
I think so, but if we're wrong, we're sorry.
You know what? It's fine. It's fine. She has a beautiful love affair with Doug, I guess, who's like a labor. He's doesn't he like break unions professionally? Isn't that his
all
job?
All I know about that guy is he's like bred Lena Dunham too, right?
Wait, wait.
Like, his daughter is basically Lena Dunham,
too? Oh, yeah. The model?
Yeah, the lady everyone hates.
Yeah, she really, like, she's a lightning rod for people just hating the bejesus out of her. I wanted to say that in a nice way, and then I said it in a 1930s way.
Anyway, let's talk about basketball. Sean, what's another news story today?
Oh, well, Joey, this was really great. I saw some news broke today from, I believe this might have been on Cleveland. It was on Cleveland.com, possibly ClevelandCavaliers.com. I did not write down the citation, but here's some news out of everyone's favorite rock and roll city, Cleveland, Ohio. The Cleveland Cavaliers plan to extend offers to free agents T.J. McConnell, Alex Caruso, Talen Horton Tucker, and or Josh Hart.
That's
Hart,
a fun
list. One of Nance's best friends, said he would like a fresh start. I just kind of like that they lost LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're just like, well, we didn't get any of the young players that the Pelicans
got for LeBron, yeah.
So we're just going to get some of the other
guys. We need some Lakers.
Yeah, we just need some Lakers. Like, we got Larry Nance. We had Jordan Clarkson for, 6 months. Mm-hmm. We gotta Lake show it up. It wasn't enough just to get David Nwaba. We need to – we got our California boy, Kevin Love, but we need some real beach boys. You know what I'm saying? Oh, and then they lost Andre Drummond to the Lakers. So they want payback. They want payback. These guys are going to the Lakers for free. I mean, honestly, all of these guys are good ideas for signings for them. These would all be good ideas. However, there are other names worth watching, Joey.
Mm-hmm.
Here are those names that they listed.
Oh, no.
Yeah, these are all future free agents. Denzel Valentine.
No.
Daniel Dice. It.
Okay. All right.
I don't know. Austin Rivers.
Sure.
I don't know about that, Joey.
Look, he's playing so well.
Is this who the Cavs need?
I mean, I don't know what the Cavs need, honestly. I thought those young players were bad, but they were all pretty good this year. It sort of just seems like they need to get rid of Kevin Love. That is the main thing the Cavs need, right?
They're waiting for him to give back that we learned in this same article. Other names worth mentioning. Dante Exum.
Sure.
Is he already there?
He was there. Yeah.
Reggie Bullock. Mm-hmm. Another former Laker. Otto Porter Jr.
Cool.
And Stanley Johnson.
Look, here's what I like about this list, though. Here's what I like about this list. It's
what?
Unlike a lot of franchises' lists, including the team we currently root for and have always rooted for, this is a realistic list of people who will really come to the Cavs.
I mean, it's weird because it feels like maturity and also surrender. Like, we got all this cap space, yeah, but, guys, come on.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
I like the list. I know you're bummed out by this list, but this is nice. I like a team that's...
The top of the list, I have no problems with. But imagine they miss. The Lakers just match with Caruso and THT. Josh Hart goes somewhere better. And then they end up signing Denzel Valentine, Dante Exum, Stanley Johnson, and Reggie Bullock.
I mean, Denzel Valentine is truly a bummer.
Stanley Johnson is truly a bummer.
Yeah.
Dante Exum, also a bummer. Not really his fault, but absolute bummer.
Austin Rivers, less of a bummer now. Weirdly.
He would be a bummer if he joined the Cavs, though. That would make him
true.
A bummer.
Yeah, that is true. He needs to be somewhere where he can earn his father's love.
Otto Porter Jr., that's the signing. I think that's a match made in heaven there.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, we had one other thing I wanted to talk about that isn't the playoffs.
Sure.
He had major surgeries just announced for Pascal Siakam. He had a torn labrum in his shoulder. Kobe White.
Also a shoulder injury, I believe.
Yeah, he's also going to miss the beginning of the season. And then Serge Ibaka had season-ending back surgery today. Do you think that had anything to do with the compressed pace of this NBA season?
I do. I do think it does. And you want to know why I think that?
Why?
Because I have read our friend Katie Heindel's excellent article about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not read ESPN's stolen article about it.
Well, I've never seen Katie wear an obnoxious bow tie for no reason.
Let's just say,
that's us saying this, by the way.
Let's just say I don't think Katie's working on a peanut butter and jelly article right now.
Yeah, that, I have a couple questions about Serge Ibaka though.
Sure.
Will he film a series where he makes his Clipper teammates eat hospital food?
No.
How in surgery are
you?
I don't think
Serge Ibaka is very into being a Clipper.
Think it's great. He said some nice things, but no. Okay, is it true that the Magic are still willing to trade Cole Anthony and Mo Bamba for him?
Sorry, you cut out there. What did you say, Sean?
I said, is it true that the Orlando Magic are now even more willing to trade him for Cole Anthony and Mo Bamba?
I don't know. Mo Bamba still has that song about him, you know?
Yeah, you're right. Right. That's true. That's true.
And actually, Cole Anthony, pretty fun and good, surprisingly.
No, I'm just trying to find the equivalent of Victor Oladipo on their team, and it was depressing. A little bit depressing that it was him. I even like it, but, you know.
Wait. Sean, do you hear this? Uh-oh. You know what time it is. It's time to talk about the playoffs.
And Mr. International!
You know what's funny? We never even get to the funniest part, which is his rap. You know what? Bring that back. I'm sorry. Is there even a playoff song this year? There isn't, right?
It doesn't. No, I don't think so. It should just be that song every
It should
every
be
time.
That every year. That should be...
And they just like, add more weird pieces of other songs. Like, throw in some Cotton Eye Joe in the middle of there. The only thing I'm worried about is it's possible that Dr. Luke produced that track.
Oh, and I it is so possible,
that could be bad. Yeah. But as long as it's Dr. Luke free, I absolutely endorse it. Why not? Or just take old playoff songs.
But that song's so funny. It's so funny and good. Like,
no, it's
look,
great.
We play that as a joke because yes, it is tacky.
But I get kind of pumped up.
I'm into it now. I love it.
But I also just think, like, failing that, take your old playoff songs and get Pitbull to just record a verse during, like, Running Down a Dream.
Yeah, or like to the Dam. Well, imagine Pitbull covering Dam by Kendrick Lamar.
That would rule.
But let's play the real drop.
Okay.
It's the NBA playoffs.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs?
Basketball for humans.
We're going to be championship.
Data for robots.
Both teams play hard, my man.
Both teams played hard.
All right, Sean. What game do you want to talk about first? Or what series?
Let's talk about the one we thought would be the NBA Finals preview.
Oh, yeah.
Not preview, or the real NBA Finals.
Bucks
not Nets. The preview.
This is a fucking bummer. The Bucks are depressing. Coach Bud's beard is like, has it infected his brain like that Kids in the Hall sketch? Is that what's
happening?
Oh, yeah.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, the vacation beard.
Yeah. He grew a vacation beard like 3 years ago and has gotten worse and worse every year.
What if he shaved that beard but also shaved his head? Like,
so
just
he looked
between
like
game three and game four. Well, just, I mean, it would look weird because imagine that Coach Bud face, those shiny cheeks. But do you think that would inspire the team or would they be freaked out?
I don't think anything Coach Bud does or says would inspire the Bucks.
I just think
point.
The beard is like bringing them down more than it should.
I mean, look, they somehow won that game last night.
Hell yeah. Grit. They got off the mat, Joey. They answered the bell.
They did not.
Defense, like, Joey.
First off, I saw people talking about how great the basketball games were last night, and that it's like they forgot. Because Clippers-Jazz was so fun, they forgot just how terrible that Bucks-Nets game was.
Because it was 86-83 in 2021?
But and also, it was like, not because the defense was good. It was because both offenses were bad.
I mean, I couldn't believe that was the Bucks' final point total after scoring 30-something in the first quarter. Mm-hmm. Like, with the Nets, you're like, yeah, they got 83 points. They scored 11 points.
KD didn't shoot very well until the second half.
Mm-hmm. Okay, here's something that I noticed in that game. The first quarter, Giannis going to the hoop, getting fouled, getting buckets, going to the hoop, getting fouled, getting buckets. Mm-hmm. Then the Bucks forgot for about 8 minutes that Giannis was a really good post player and kind of unstoppable.
Here's what I would say
happened. He's a good paint player. Okay.
Giannis shot like 8 threes, I think. He just started taking threes, man.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the whole, I'm not exempting Giannis from
this.
The
other thing Giannis did is he got a 10-second violation at the free throw line. And that was like a real bummer, disheartening moment. Like, everyone was depressed when that happened.
Yeah. The Bucks as a team are shooting, I think, 23% from three.
Yeah.
And the Nets are shooting 39% for three. One of those numbers seems more sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the Bucks shooting 23%.
Yeah.
Why is Giannis taking so many threes?
I don't know.
Doesn't make any sense. Chris Middleton had a great game after being kind of bad before.
I mean, kind of. Like, I still don't have any confidence in him anytime he has the ball.
No. But I do think it was impressive, but also really weird that Holiday played 46 minutes, Middleton played 44 minutes, and Giannis played almost 43 minutes, which is the most he has ever played in a Bucks game under Coach Bud, which is kind of weird considering they went deep into the playoffs one of those years. Like, didn't ever think, like, he'd be important?
I don't know. We're burying the lead here, though.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant's bodyguard tried to fight PJ Tucker in front of Catch Steak.
yes. Yeah. He Rappaport style.
Yeah. do you have a quote, you want to read about this, Sean?
Yeah. This is from, Joe Varden, one of my favorite writers. At one point with less than 5 minutes left in the third quarter, Durant and PJ Tucker were nose to nose, speaking heatedly as though they were upset, Come on now. Just delete that clip. There are no editors there. Okay. Durant's personal bodyguard, who is on the Nets payroll, charged the court to break them up and shove Tucker. The Bucks crowd, at full capacity for the first time this season, serenaded Kevin with "fuck KD" chants. Mm-hmm. So, another look. Full capacity means fully unacceptable all the time. Mm-hmm. Draymond Green said this league has gotten so soft, security ran on the court. That, you know what I gotta say? Fair point, Draymond. That's but here's my question: is having your personal bodyguard come onto the floor during a fight, is that basically the brawl equivalent of a burner account?
Yeah.
Yeah, like his burner came on to... Also, by pushing PJ Tucker, I think PJ Tucker accidentally headbutted Bruce Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it was, you know, he got pushed in the back and he didn't see it. And,
anyway, Sean, what's going to happen the rest of the series?
The Nets are going to win 4-1.
The next two games, right?
I'm going to call it. Yeah, like every time I even see Jeff Teague on the bench, I'm like, how does this not remind the coach of the Bucks about blowing it with a really good regular season team? Jrue Holiday has not been too great. I think he's going to bounce back. I think the Bucks are going to keep bricking those threes, and they're going
to
go
home. Like, the when Bucks you're doing another game. They need a big Jrue Holiday game and a big Brook Lopez game at the same time, right? That's like their only shot here.
Well, I mean, I also think that, Chris Middleton could play an average regular season Chris Middleton game, and that would go a long way.
He's not
playing
the Celtics, though, Sean. That's the only time he's good at basketball. I don't know what the deal is. But for whatever reason, when he plays the Boston Celtics... he becomes like T-Mac. Anyone else, he becomes Chris Middleton again. Paul George. He becomes East Coast Paul George.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it is not going to even up. I think. We're going to find out one way or another pretty soon. But I'm saying bet on Brooklyn on Saturday.
Speaking of, remember last week, Sean, when I was like, if the Jazz beat the Mavs, I think they're making the finals because it means they've figured something out. I mean, sorry, with the Clippers beat the Mavs.
Yes.
I was reading the word Jazz.
Oh, sorry.
The Clippers beat the Mavs, they're going to make the finals. Turns out I was really wrong because the Clippers are down 2-0 to the Jazz and have also looked... not very good.
Well, these games have been very close.
Sure.
I will say that.
But I will say about four times a game when the game... about four times a game once the game gets close, the Clippers do something to remind me...
That they're the Clippers.
Yeah, that they maybe don't care that much about basketball.
So, here's the thing.
Joe Ingles shot last night... was maybe the most embarrassing basket I've seen, like, a team in a playoff game give up.
Yeah, describe what happened, Joey.
So, what was the score of the game? It was like, they were up, like, five, right? The Jazz were up five.
Yeah, they were absolutely they were up five.
Five-point game with, like, 3 minutes left to go in the game.
Uh-huh.
And Joe Ingles just dribbled the ball all the way down the court and no one ever guarded him, and then he hit a wide open three very slowly.
He was not sprinting. He, you know when they say a guy walks into a three?
Yeah.
Joe Ingles was walking into a three to the point where I thought he was dribbling to the sideline to call a timeout.
Yeah.
And apparently the Clippers did too. And he almost, like, there was a moment where he, when he got to the 3-point line, where he paused for a second.
Because,
like,
he was confused. No one stopped
the ball.
Because he
was so open. Even he thought that he had maybe accidentally called a timeout.
Yeah, or like there was a whistle and no one heard it.
Uh-huh.
And then, to be fair, then the Jazz, like, to pay them back, did the same thing twice in a row, where they just forgot to stop the ball on a on a Reggie Jackson dunk and then, like, a Paul George layup.
Yeah, he just, and like, I was ran like, into the...
I
yeah,
literally texted you, I basket. Was like, is there we're a like, is there gas a... leak in the arena? Because there were, like, in 3 out of 6 possessions in a very close game in the fourth quarter of a playoff game, no one remembered to guard the ball.
I also just don't really understand the Clippers' rotations either. It seems like they get to the second half, Tyronn Lue stops playing his bench, really. He starts just playing 6 guys in the second half, which is defensible, I guess, except one of those guys is Patrick Beverley playing 21 minutes, and he can't do anything anymore.
Well, no, he can dive on the ground like he's trying
really
hard.
Yeah, and like yell at somebody.
Yeah, but
I don't
like...
know if he's made a field goal this series yet. Seriously, I think he might not have. Rondo didn't play. Playoff Rondo was DNP Rondo. Mm-hmm. And the Clippers, yet again in a playoff game, are like exhausted in the fourth quarter. And I can't tell if it's, is it like the rotations is something? And again, maybe there's a gas leak. It is possible that there's a gas leak. I wouldn't rule it out. All right, so here's one thing I wanted to mention, a little stat for you.
Sure.
From Tim Van McMahon said that the Jazz's game 2 defensive rating with Rudy Gobert on the court was 97.3. So it's points per 100 possessions. With Gobert off the floor, it was 169.6. Although I did read in The Athletic that Utah's defensive ratings are down because it says Black Lives Matter on the court. People are very upset about that.
Did you, speaking of the Jets, did you see when they filmed their owner at the end of the game?
Yes, but I didn't really understand what was happening. I mean, it's weird. He does not look like an owner.
That's what I want to talk about. When they filmed, when they showed the Jazz owner, I literally thought it was Rob Dyrdek at the game.
Do it like that like big had money on the game.
I guess. I don't know. It was just like, the Jazz have a skateboard owner now. I forgot. Yeah.
Well, he's wearing a backwards hat that has the name of his company on
and
it.
And we should say he did do something cool and good a couple of them.
Well, what did he do?
The Utah State Senate was working on a bill to ban trans athletes playing trans student sport athletes to play the sport and the gender of their choosing, and he had a backroom meeting with a bunch of state senators and said if they pass that, it's like that they shouldn't pass the bill because it's obviously wrong, and then threatened to tell the NBA to take Utah's All-Star Game bid away from them. If
wow. Okay, that's cool. And hey, Jordan Clarkson also helped a vandalized food truck repaint it for him. So good job, Jordan Clarkson.
Speaking of Jordan Clarkson, I have his post-game press conference here.
Oh, please.
Oh, at least a snippet of it. And his voice is so funny. People need to talk about how funny Jordan Clarkson's voice is. I mean, in a good way. It's so cool and funny. Here it is.
But I'm still trying to bring that free, just flowing, you know, vibe to this team and, you know, continue to do that. And, you know, I really don't think about a legacy and what I leave behind. But if it was, they know JC was free and, you know, did what he did. on his own time.
Where do you think he got all that weed in Utah?
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, like, well, I think, like, he lived in Tampa, Florida until he was six, and it stuck, baby.
I mean, let's hear this laugh again.
You know, did what he did on his own time.
It's like...
You know, did what he did on his own time.
It's like, what if a member of Bone Thugs and Harmony was also the beach bum?
Yeah, yeah. I'm telling you, it's Tampa, Florida. That's what that is. Like, yeah.
Anyway, love him. Which brings us to something we need to talk about, Sean. It's very serious.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Do we need to respect the Jets?
Joey, here's what I'm going to say. They've been playing great. We're both Joe Ingles fans.
We're Boyan fans.
We kind of don't like that Joe Ingles keeps trying to blind people.
Yeah.
That's a bad habit.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, he did blind John Shire from Duke, and so it kind of balances out. But yeah, Ingles, Boyan rules, Jordan Clarkson rules. Derek Favors seems like a three-dimensional man.
I'm not getting on that bandwagon. I'm still on.
Is he seems like he might not be a hologram. He might not be a hologram. And then
do you like Mie Oni?
No, see, that's the thing. When a guy from Yale comes into a playoff game, you should lose. That's on the Clippers. I'm sorry. It's just, come on, man.
All right, do you like...
Oh, actually, I like Niang.
That was going to be my next question. Do you like Georges Niang?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. If he had any other first name, but it makes me so uncomfortable to say Georges and, like... Am I saying it wrong? Is it Georgie?
George, dude. People just say George.
I don't like it. So he's out.
Do you feel about playoff Donovan Mitchell?
You know what? I have to say, I feel like Donovan Mitchell, he is very corny. Mm-hmm. A lot of young Sheldon energy. Does some embarrassing things, but also, I think he does have legitimate things to be unhappy about, which is like being around Rudy Gobert and like the franchise kind of jacking him around. And I wish he was somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But you know, he's been playing very tough. I feel like it's the Jazz on him. And he could still be saved.
Mm-hmm. I disagree. I think if you traded Jason Tatum and Donovan Mitchell, right? Jason Tatum, another guy we sort of make fun of that. But Donovan Mitchell would be equally as annoying as the Boston Celtics, but Jason Tatum would not be annoying at all, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the thing is, Jason Tatum is like a self-realized man.
Well, he's only 19, Sean.
Yeah. But I mean, the things that are obnoxious about Jason Tatum, for the most part, are not actually about Jason Tatum. They're about the Boston media and people being... really weird about him.
Soup being the perfect food.
Yeah, I mean he has a bad tattoo, but you know what?
I believe in the 4-point line. I believe soup is the perfect food.
All right.
I believe Jason Tatum is 17 years old. But yeah, I kind of like if I didn't have to hear people talk about Jason Tatum in the way that they do, I would have a more normal opinion of him because, like, as a player, it's like, oh.
But I'm just saying, I think the Donovan Mitchell personality would be annoying at any of the top 10 most annoying fan bases.
I just think some of his annoyance is his personal unhappiness with his situation.
Maybe.
And it's shot outward, but like.
I want to talk about Rudy Gobert real quick.
Okay, sure.
They did it again last night. They said. They were talking about how he won his third defensive player of the year, which he's great at defense. He deserves it. I want to make that very clear. He's very good at defense. He deserves it. But then Rudy Gobert was saying again how he won the award for his mom. And I just...
He won the defensive... His mom was like, you gotta win a third defensive
player.
That's
what I want to talk about. Like, there's no fucking way his mom cares this much about these NBA awards anymore.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? The first one, sure, and I'm sure she's very proud, but there's no way his mom gives a fuck that he won the third one.
A third defensive player of the year one? Because honestly, I don't want... That, like, to me, falls into... almost like weird Animal Kingdom territory.
Yeah.
Like, is your mom Ellen Barkin? Is she just like, honey, Bears, you gotta win a third Defensive Player of the Year award. I'll make you an apple pie like we do after every time you get a trophy. You know what I mean? Like, it's weird. Your first Defensive Player of the Year award, that's for your mom. You know what I mean? Like, first All-Star can also be for your mom, but third Defensive Player of the Year award? Like, your mom is either, like, this is either fake or your mom is kind of a monster.
Exactly.
Like, because when you think about it, when he says, I started crying about not making the NBA All-Star team, again, popularity contest.
No, his mom started crying because she
didn't. Oh, that's why he cried, was because he was thinking about his mom crying.
Crying, yeah.
But, like, your mom made you cry because she was so disappointed in you? Again, like, I don't know.
Keep me in the loop, Mrs. Gobert.
Yeah,
all right.
That's the rough one.
All right.
I had a quick question.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's the better mascot, Chuck the Condor or Dwayne Wade?
My God, Chuck! All right.
I want to delay talking about Paul George.
Okay.
If that's okay.
We'll talk about that later.
When they get eliminated, yes.
Sure, okay.
In a couple days.
So, that's my next question.
I absolutely think the Clippers can take this to
Who's
seven
winning
games.
This series? Yeah.
It's the Jazz, but Look, both these teams blew a 3-1 lead last year. I know that Boyan wasn't there.
That's the thing. Boyan last night on Kawhi was insane in the fourth quarter. And I don't think he can do it two straight times. But I think if you give him three more times, he can do it twice. You know what I mean?
Well, people don't realize that he's a really good defensive player.
Yeah, because he guarded LeBron really well in a playoff series.
He was very good as a defensive player on the Nuggets, and he was good last year. He just got
not
hurt at a
Pacers,
weird time.
Not on the Pacers, I mean, not the Nuggets.
On the Pacers, sorry, yeah. Not on the Nuggets. They wish.
Okay, so who you got, Sean?
Jazz. I'm respecting the hell out of the Jazz.
It
was a George Clarkson vote.
I'm going to stick with my take that the Clippers are coming out of the West.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
I'm an idiot and it's wrong, but I have said it.
Why change now? What are you gaining? Stick to your goddamn guns.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Suns Nuggets.
Yeah.
The Suns are really good. The Nuggets are really hurt.
Yeah, I don't have that. The only thing I will say is that I was suggesting Chris Paul should come to the Suns for years. Not really because of the coach or anything like that, but just like that's what happens in the life cycle of an aging NBA point guard.
Right.
You go to Phoenix and you get rejuvenated and things go great. And they, you know, they blew up that model by screwing over Goran Dragic, trading away Isaiah Thomas and going with Eric Bledsoe, not old enough to go to Phoenix and blossom.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like he should have stayed with the Clippers or gone somewhere else. Eric Bledsoe should be coming to Phoenix now. Obviously he's blocked now, but you know what I mean? Like this was a good place for Marbury or Nash or Dragic or Aaron Brooks did well there. And anyway, Jason Kidd, like that's where you go. So I'm happy that that's still happening. I just wanted to only mention one more thing, that the Colorado Rockies, a couple days ago, on June 1st, tweeted, I think this is right after, the Nuggets beat the Blazers.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, the Avalanche had gone up 2-0 on Las Vegas in their series. Mm-hmm. And the Colorado Rockies in all caps tweeted, "Go Nugs! Go Avs. Denver is the sports capital of the world with four pictures of the Rockies.
Colorado Rockies. Yeah.
I think celebrating going to the World Series in 2007. Uh-huh. It might actually just be winning a one game playoff. I don't know. In one of them, they're just shaking hands after a game. So like three of them seem like they're walk-offs, and I don't know. Anyway, since they tweeted that, the Avalanche lost four games in a row and have been eliminated from the Stanley Cup Finals, and the Nuggets are 0-2. So thanks a lot, Colorado suckies.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Is Denver going to win a game?
I think they'll get a home game. Yeah,
yeah.
I do. Generally, I mean, it sucks. Porter seems pretty hurt, but yep. I think Denver has a little bit of a legit home court advantage too. Like altitude and just like this, the Nuggets have a lot of pride. Yeah. They're very undermanned. And also Phoenix is just good. You know, I'm not taking anything away from Phoenix, but I think that, I think Denver will get one. I don't think they're getting swept.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I don't know. It's such a bummer. They're really guarding. The Suns are really guarding Jokic well. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, you're right.
Let's talk about Sixers Hawks.
Yeah.
Tied 1-1.
Happening as we record.
Yeah.
Spoiler, putting you behind the curtain here.
What do you have to say about this series, Sean?
Yet again, Doc Rivers is adjusting a little bit slowly. It took him three quarters to realize he should put a tall person on Trae Young. That seems to have been pretty effective to do that. Because he's very small, and they like the whole thing the Sixers have is their, you know, they talk about Ben Simmons guarding 1 through 5 and all the guys with long arms who can get in the way. And it's like, yeah, have those guys guard the most dangerous player on the other team.
Mm-hmm.
Hawks pretty solid, though.
Yeah, they're much better than I thought. Sixers are still going to win this series, though.
Yeah, I mean, I do think, though, if the Hawks had, if DeAndre Hunter wasn't hurt, they're starting Solomon Hill right now.
Well, if they didn't sign a dead Danilo Gallinari, I think they'd be in better shape, right?
Yeah, but he's putting a point. He's not the problem. I mean,
I know he's not the problem, but it's not helping.
With Hunter playing, he's like the seventh man. And unfortunately now, they're starting Solomon Hill and Tony Snell sees the floor. I think they should just suck it up and start Herder.
Agreed. Red Velvet, FTW.
Yeah. And just like, deal with he's big enough, you know? Just let him go.
Aren't they just afraid he's going to hurt himself again, though? Isn't that the problem?
I mean... Please, Kevin, don't hurt her. You know what I mean? My favorite problem. Which Bogdanovich is impressing you more this week, Joey?
Boyan. I mean, I love Bogdan, but Boyan.
Talking to my mom about the playoffs, she finds it infuriating.
Well, you know who else found it infuriating?
Who's that?
The person at ESPN responsible for showing the Bogdan Bogdanovich highlights at the draft.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Because they showed the Boyan highlights.
Yeah. Shouldn't Boyan have to be Boyan Boyanovich, though? Like,
probably.
Yeah. And then my mom got mad when I told her there was a guy named Zubac, too. And she was like, argh. She had a lot of trouble with Jokic's name, too. Why am I?
I guess we should mention real quick. Oh, yeah. Daryl Morey got a tampering fine for tweeting that Steph Curry should come to the Philadelphia 76ers, which logistically, I'm not even sure how that would happen.
Right.
I almost think that you shouldn't have fined Daryl Morey at all for this because it's so impossible.
Right, when it's an impossible tamper, it's like, well, that's not.
Like, it but was also, clearly a joke. It was like, this is our first sarcastic tampering.
But
also, this is why Daryl Morey should only come on Roundball Rock and not tweet at anyone or give any other interviews.
Right.
In fact, I'm putting out a call. Daryl Morey, please call our phone number and give us a 5-minute review of In the Heights.
Mm-hmm.
Of the In the Heights movie.
I've seen it. I saw the touring company.
No. I want the... But the movie
right. I know. I'm just saying I can talk to him with it. I can talk about it if he wants. If he wants to discuss it, I have seen the show. That's sure. All I'm saying.
I'm just saying let's start yeah, slow.
You know what? He can just call it.
Just
you know
call what? And leave a voicemail.
The number is in the show description. And you know what? He doesn't even have... He call about In the Heights, but also call about whatever you want. And if we think there's anything that's tampering, we will censor it.
I'll cut it out. We'll
cut it out. Yeah.
Sean, is that our episode?
That's our episode, Joey.
Do you have anything you'd like to plug? These are our episodes.
Yeah, I have 2 club weekends for you to see in July, both with a friend of the show, Chris Garcia.
Nice.
I will be featuring for Chris Garcia from July 8th to the 10th in beautiful Sacramento, California. And then in somewhat beautiful San Francisco, California, the next weekend, I will be performing at the Sac Punchline July 8th through the 10th, and then at the San Francisco Punchline from July 13th to July 17th. The 13th is an all-stars show.
And if you run a club called The Punchline somewhere in the mm-hmm. country, book Sean, because that's the only club he'll work.
The name has to describe part of the act of stand-up or I'm gone. I will also be at the Flimsy Premise in Boise, Idaho later this summer too.
As for me, as for me, listen to me on the Fraughtcast this week, the Film Drunk Fraughtcast. I was on, I don't even really remember what we talked about. We talked about Yashar a little bit. We talked about
he's actually living in the spare bedroom of our house
right now.
Doesn't come out a lot, but... Yeah.
No. And follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz, where on June 2nd, I tweeted, how do you write the feeling of wanting to scream and cry / break everything in sight due to stress and frustration? Is it like, Agarwa?
I mean, he's still reeling from that trailer theft, right?
Sean, did you write a song?
I did. This is continuing... My shoving it in the face of Sufjan Stevens. I'm doing a show, a song about every NBA city. This one's about Charlotte, and it is called Zell Out. So thank you to my good friends at Real Big Fish.
Great. That's playing under us right now. Trust the process.
Trust the process.
And, shut it down. Let's all go get those addictive Doritos Locos tacos.
Well, you said you can't play in Charlotte all your life, so don't sign that offer sheet, Cody, but it's too late. I don't know who else will play the 5. Is Primo Brezic still alive? He's better than Emeka. He's better than Emeka Okafor. They're gonna sign him to play center. 82 games, but he'll miss 20. Bismack is somehow on the team every year. Cody's plus minus rules, but I don't believe it. Zell out! He's 7 feet tall. Zell out! He's going bald. Michael Jordan's gonna give him lots of money, and the Hornets are gonna finish 9. No more free agent shopping, picking up Boston's discards. His brother Tyler's white and slow. Mitch Kupchak gave Moskov a deal. Cody wants to stop the steal. I guess they're getting hammered. I guess they're getting hammered on the boards. Cause Cody's gonna get him a 4-year deal. Get hated on by the Cognoscenti. In his knee, the cartilage disappeared. It's scary, Terry Good. I just don't believe it. Sell out! in free agency. Sell out, cause there's no Plumlees. Michael Jordan's gonna give him lots of money, and this front court's gonna be so white. And I don't think that he'll crap out. And this team's always capped out. Though I remember what Nate Duncan said. And he's 38, he's basically dead. No, no, no. So he'll sign on for another stint. Even though his body's soft like putty, Gordon Hayward needs another friend on the team. Cause his wife Robin's busy with law enforcement. Zell out! He's 7 feet tall. Zell out! He's going bald. Michael Jordan's gonna give him lots of money, and the Hornets are gonna finish ninth. That office sheet, she said, I can live in Charlotte all my life.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.